Hi, it's Oscar here. Welcome to episode one. This is with the legendary artist Elliot Francis Stewart. Today was our first episode, so forgive my false start. I wasn't really too sure what I was doing. A little bit nervous, a little scared. But it's episode one. Hope you enjoy it. We'll get better with time. Take care. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Elliot. Episode one.
Thank you.
No, thanks so much.
That's exciting.
Can I quickly just start by going through some old tales that you have told me in the past that we can kind of delve back into? Because I was always interested. You told me once that you found a fish in a hole.
See, what happened was I met an old lady.
Yeah.
So now if you go down to the bottom of Hakanoa Street and you're walking through to the, like, Faro supermarket, there's an old, what used to be a retirement village. It got sunk in the floods.
Yeah.
And now no one lives there. Before it got sunk in the floods, there were people who lived there, and quite a few of them are eccentric, and all of them are pretty good gardeners. And then there was an older lady there, and she said blah, blah, blah about earthquakes and la, 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 and she was nutty.
Yeah.
And she said, well, look, where I've dug my garden up, I had a kawai swimming through here. She said, they just laid the concrete here, and it's all cracked. There's earthquakes that happen in Auckland. No one else can really feel them. But when you're at the bottom of the, you know, because they're built on marshlands,
you can
really feel them. And she's like proving it because she's showing you all the concrete and how nothing that they've built and everything she's saying is true, because I do the same walk all the time.
Yeah.
Everything's getting broken. And she said when she was digging a garden, a kawai was swimming through the mud.
What?
Yeah. That's and I'm like... That's legit true, and I know it's true.
But where do you reckon the kawai is coming from to go through? Like, where's the...
Cox's Creek. And I think, like, it's not that far away. Like, so the Woolworths, if you go underneath that Woolworths...
There's
the end of what seems the end of the line
true.
Of a river.
Yeah.
But it's not the end of the line. Because floods have proven it.
Yeah, because Grayland Park is essentially a river as well.
It's a marshland.
Marshland.
Yeah.
But that turned into a river, obviously, with the floods as well.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any fish or any strange sort of...
The best I'd ever seen was just the flood that just happened.
Yeah.
It just showed exactly what water wants to do. And because the water can't fit under the ground anymore, it's showing exactly where it was.
Yeah.
And it's moving people's houses and moving people out and showing what it is. I'm scared of it. You know?
Well, because even CBD's all reclaimed. Like, the sea used to go up to, like, Vultures Lane or, like, the Queen's Ferry Hotel.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. And there was a river underneath Queen Street.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen or gone under there?
No.
Or heard of
tunnelling friends that have gone tunnelling under there.
Really?
And, you know, Fats White, he's gone under there and all those people. Really? I've gotten close.
I'd love to go under. That's one of my goals.
Yeah,
to do a video. Me and you should do a video going under, trying to get under there. If you can help me get in there.
I'm drop nuts of it, man. Like,
really?
Well, there's pockets of poisonous gas because we're volcanic.
Really? Pockets of poisonous
gas? Yeah, so you want to get one of those little mechanical things that tell you. You're going to get a mechanical...
CO2 reader or...
Yeah.
Yeah, mechanical canary.
Yeah, and you can go do that. So, yeah.
That's a pretty exciting one. So just going back into, like, you know, because... Just, you know, letting the audience know about who you are. So you've grown up in Auckland. Which suburb did you grow up in?
Howick.
Howick?
Yeah.
Really? What school did you go to?
It was primary school, so I went to Star of the Sea.
Star of the Sea in Howick?
Yeah. It was like a little Catholic school. And then after that, I went to, like, I don't know, Owairoa and Anchorage Park and other little primary schools. And then I went out to Pakuranga.
Oh, yeah.
So more I'm really from Pakuranga.
True.
But my base memories are like Howick, because, like, I was born on Granger Road, which is just like a walk away from the beach, Howick Beach.
Mm.
And I think if you get knocked out or anything, like, you know, if you go to a base memory, it's probably Howick.
Howick's your first memory?
Yeah, and then, like, a whole big long time of Pakuranga, and then from Pakuranga we came to... I've got a big family, so I got, like, six sisters and two brothers.
Six sisters, two brothers.
Yeah, and
whoa.
Dad was living out in Grey Lynn, and Mum, we were all living with Mum, and then we all moved to Grey Lynn, and around the mid-90s, like 95-ish.
How old were you in that time?
Like 13 or something.
Oh, so it's like the peak, the good time to move to Grey Lynn. Yeah,
the turning happened.
Oh,
and it was weird, man, because I really wanted to live in Pakuranga, and then living in Grey Lynn, it was a little bit different. Like, both weren't paradises at all. But I mean, if that's all that you know, it's one thing. And then like coming to town and you start painting and you do, like, I've always painted and stuff.
Were you painting? Did you first do your painting in Howick or?
Yeah, in Packering or
anything. Oh, really? So was that, like, when you say painting, I was, like, just, like, graffiti stuff? Is that kind of, or painting?
Graffiti starts in Packering.
Yeah.
But
painting, like actual, like, canvas.
I just
canvas.
Used to tag on fences and shit.
Yeah.
But then when you come to town, all of a sudden there's, you meet people who are like, this is actually an art, bro.
Yeah.
Have you tried coffee?
Yeah.
This is an expensive.
Have you tried coffee?
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to, like, like. You know, I didn't know about Eggs Benedict or butter chicken or, you know, red curries and shit. And none of that shit existed. Coffee didn't exist. I'm older than coffee.
Yeah, oh, Jesus.
You know, like,
so what was it, what was before, like, espresso and just, like, instant?
I don't know what people were doing, but one day a cafe opened up and everyone acted like they were there the whole time, and then the cafe culture just happened.
True.
I think that's what happened.
Paninis and all that stuff.
Yeah, paninis. It started with paninis.
It started with paninis and bowl lattes. Remember how, like,
yeah.
Bowl lattes?
And then
so
where
big.
Is it?
I know. Yeah. I reckon someone could almost start a old school 90s cafe, you know, like a bowl latte panini place, just as like a nostalgic throwback. Call it Central Perk, you know, like sort of like a Friends style cafe.
Go to Cezanne's.
Cezanne's closed.
What?
Cezanne closed last week.
Bullshit.
No shit. I was going to go on their closing day because I love Cezanne.
Oh.
Cezanne's is like the last cafe. Joe C's is probably the only one we got left now for like slightly, but even that's not.
Well, it was
not Cezanne.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame.
It is a shame, eh?
That is a shame.
So going back to like when you say painting, like what was the first thing you remember? Like, because my son's really into drawing, loves it. Like, what's the first thing you remember drawing?
I remember scratching on a hall wall.
On a hallway?
Yeah, in the hall well. It was like, we grew up in the convent out in Howick, big stone building. Yeah,
convent?
Yeah, and it was like a...
Like, were you part of the church? It was like an old convent?
We were a part of the church in the way that we were Catholic, and so most of the convent was a school.
Yeah.
And there was a chapel, but the chapel wasn't operating very much. Maybe there would be a wedding there or something like that, but not really. And so it's just a school. There's just a line that they didn't cross, a door that no one crossed at the school.
Yeah.
And then from there on out, it was our house.
Oh, true.
And so we lived there. Why am I saying about this building?
No, just because we did your first drawing in the hallway.
And then in there, the walls are like cement.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've been painted with, like, you know, that enamel-y paint?
Yeah.
It's all 50s shit. And if you scratch it, you can chip that paint off.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first memory of doing stuff, chipping the white paint and revealing the blue paint.
Oh, wow.
But, like, creating something from that feels like... I think if I think that would be my earliest... I don't know why.
No. That's cool, though. It's weird to say, but it's also, you know, it's slightly graffiti-ish in a way, which is kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Your first artwork is, like, creating, making, like... Just a normal, like, a wall look cooler with what it already has on it. You know, like, you know, chipping the paint off and finding the blue.
Or just watching the colour is appearing.
What do you remember drawing? Like, what would you always draw? Did you draw, like, any... Was there, like, a thing you tried perfecting? Like, for argument's sake, Wolf loves drawing, like, dragons and trying to get faces of monsters
boats.
And stuff. Boats.
I try to draw boats.
True.
Yeah.
And do you still... Why do you think... Do you have any reason why you think the affinity of boats?
Nah, but I always like to be imaginative and think... stuff is ancient,
yeah,
and it's just like whatever speaks to you probably comes out of you.
So when you said your graffiti started in Pakaranga,
when I say that, that's
or like just
like,
tagging
it's
on fences.
A stretch of the truth because
yeah,
it's kind of like in Pakaranga, I was very aware of tagging,
mm-hmm.
and I really was incredibly fond of it. But in a way, like because I like fucking shit up, you know, it's like it's fucked.
Yeah,
that's just fucked. And look at the, I thought what was happening was people were trying to write their name as ugly as they could, and not stylistically and shit. You know, I thought this is just like the biggest fuck you to fucking fuck everything, and that is excellent. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Live macho man shit. And
so you'd be like 11, 12 doing that sort of age?
Yeah, but on the way in Te Rākau Park, on the way to the mall, there's an alleyway and there's a snooker centre. Dino Kane Snooker Centre. In between, there was like brick walls, alleyway. And DLT and some guys had come along and painted like Michael Jordan. And they painted it Stimpy.
Yeah.
And then there was bombings, and they were just gobsmacked, fucking incredible to me. But if you're looking out of a 12-year-old's eyes, the world isn't from a 12-year-old's eyes, man.
And yeah, totally.
It just was amazing. And then there was, like, some guys, one NKO, and they did, like, coloured in throw-ups on a gas station. Yeah. And to me, it just looked amazing. And then I seen photos of the throw-ups that I saw. They're not as amazing as... But when you're looking at them through the eyes of a child, they're so much fucking different. And then...
Totally.
But I didn't know that. So what would happen is, like, you know, you're like 12 and you first start drinking, like, out on the streets and stuff.
Mm.
And when you're drinking, someone passes you a can, and always people would make me do the tags. So I remember going and tagging on fences, but never, ever with direction.
True.
Just completely just a pissed fuckwit being a cunt.
Just vandalism, essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I came to town and I learned the latte lifestyle, where it's like, actually, if you blend these colours and, you know, blah, and then all of it changed.
And that when you did say that he was probably throwing stuff up?
No, I still had the same attitude, but I knew that, like, Vincent, my friend, I got a friend, Vincent, and his dad would drive us around because he had a job and he had a van, and he'd look after people with mental illnesses,
mm-hmm.
so he'd drive them to places and shit. Sometimes we'd be in the van, he'd go and look after them for a minute, and then down by the train tracks, and he sort of said, down here it's like an art gallery without limits.
Oh, wow.
And we really took that quite seriously.
That's quite a profound thing for him to say, really.
Well, you know, when you're a kid... I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah.
I found out that I'm a bit daft in the head, like, and everybody's turning into an autistic these days, so I figured, well, I'm probably one of these autistic people.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of evidence to prove it, what with the not talking till I'm five and
oh, really?
All of the shit, but then I end up hanging out with special people.
Mm.
You would be another special person.
Yeah,
and by I mean special, probably single-focused or ADHD
yeah.
or one of the other fucking fucktarded things.
Yeah.
But what I notice is a similarity between graffiti writers, and it's probably a type of mental hang-up, you know? Which I don't think is a bad thing, but if somebody's writing their name over and over and over again...
Yeah.
And then they'd say, oh, it's like narcissistic or something. And I wish that to be entirely true, but it isn't. It's for me, when it comes to music,
mm-hmm.
I have to listen to the same part of a song. Like I'll listen to a song if I want to hear a fraction of it.
Yeah.
And then if I have it my way, I'll just listen to the start of the song. And then I'll stop it, and then I'll listen to the start of the song, and then I'll stop it, and then I'll listen to the start of the song, and then I'll just, and it's limitless.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to stop. And I suffer other people, so I have to do that in my own time, you know? And then when it comes to drawing and shit, it's like I just do the same thing over and over again, and it's not like I like stitching. I can't do what I'm told.
Mm.
If they tell me to do something, I can't.
Yeah.
But if I'm left alone... I'll start fucking doing something over and over and over and over and over,
yeah,
and, over
yeah.
and over and over. And if I'm left alone, I think it's a benefit for me and people around me. But if tried to be controlled, it can't be.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
So why do you think you want to just write your name over and over again? Is just because you just want to get it perfected or get it right? Or you just like the act? Like when you listen to that song, you just like the way that song hits, that first part of that song, and it's just like that action of writing that thing.
You ever see one of those people that can't stop shaking their leg?
I'm like that a little bit, yeah.
It's like that. I just can't stop shaking my leg.
Yeah.
And I can't think clearly, and so it's a real weird one because it's like, if I can have a piece of paper and a kitchen table, I'll be better for a group conversation. Like, if the family are all around. And I think that's what happened to me, is my head just fell down.
Mm.
And I can better understand things, but I can't communicate it properly.
Yeah.
So it's like drawing is a way of communicating things that you can't even say anyway. And there's a lot of reasons why that's true and not true at the same time. But ultimately, the part of it that's true is... something's coming out of you.
Yeah.
And it's not entirely in control by you. It just comes out.
That's why you've kind of done your graffiti sort of, is that kind of...
Well, even calling it, like, everything
I shouldn't
gets
say graffiti,
a name.
Sorry,
it's like,
it's a bad thing to say.
I colour in, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a colour inner.
You're a colour inner.
I put the paint on the thing. It's that simple, and I don't care what the paint is. If I was sitting there and it was me and you and we were on an island, I'd just start using a pumice.
Yeah, and just colour things in.
Yes, that's what I do.
It's colouring in the world, yeah.
I'm a nervous person, bite your nails.
Yes, yeah. I know that feeling, man, yeah. It is nice to colour in the world, though. It's beautiful. And but you do also did, like, you've done some amazing comics and stuff. Where are you at with some of the comic stuff? And when did you, what started you on doing comics and...
That's the same thing. It's repeating.
Is it repeating? But you're telling a story as well in that sort of thing. So, you know, there's a little... It's a little bit... It feels like it may be a little bit more thought out than just a repetitive... But it's still a repetitive behaviour making comics.
Yeah,
but
a single drawing is telling a story, and a lot of panels is also telling a story.
True.
And I love reading comics because I love comics.
Yeah.
And it's like... if comics is more nicer than graffiti because... Graffiti, you have to see it, or you have to. You can cancel it from your mind, and 99% of people cancel everything from their mind, and they walk and they don't see a fucking thing.
Yeah.
And with comics, if you've made the decision to open it, now you're engaging with imagery, and now you're having a conversation with, you know, even if it is just smiling faces with eyes popping out of their heads and, you know, bullshit happening. There's still a communication. There's still something there. You can still feel it.
And what was the comic that, like, kind of took you first when you were a kid or that you read and you were like...
Asterix, Buster, Beano, you know?
Asterix, Buster, Beano. Yeah. Asterix is my favourite.
Wizard and Chips, all that shit.
Yeah.
Love it.
And, like, so what about some of the more, like, avant-garde sort of stuff? That, like when did you go, like, oh, I'm going to start drawing... When did you draw your first comic or did your first panels or...?
I started reading comics. I like all the comics. I always did comics when I was a kid. But... I remember I had a friend who worked in a comic shop and I was reading, I got really mental. Oh, the mental. This is what happened. Is I got 12 or something and I got a comic called Marvel versus DC.
Okay.
And I caught the illness that children catch, which is just a Spider-Man obsession.
Yeah.
Just a massive obsession. And then all I would read was Spider-Man and X-Men and Wolverine, obsessed with it for years. And then I didn't like black and white comics. I'd read Archie. Then I read Bone. Have you ever read a comic called Bone?
I haven't, no.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's a good segue to bounce you out of a world and into a whole other world. Because I always knew about underground comics and shit like that, but I read them for, like, because just they had tits in them.
Yeah.
You know, and then... The world of comics opens up and it's all a whole bigger world to me. And then I understood.
Yeah.
And now it's like, yes, I think it's the best thing.
How does it come up? Do you get the story for the comic first or like, do you go like, oh fuck, that'd be a mean comic?
Both. Yeah. Everything.
Or do you go, so I want to make a comic today. Or like,
I'd come to you, man. And then hello, there it is. And now you've done it.
When was the last time you did a comic? Or like a couple of panels, or like when was the last time you got hit by a story? You were like, oh fuck, I'll be a main comic.
I do little comics that I suck. I just draw a line down the middle of a thing and then draw two things, so it's six boxes.
Yeah.
And then in six boxes, I'll tell a small story. I draw that on the kitchen table, like as a gag.
Yeah.
But occasionally you do one of those gags and you think, well, fuckery, I actually probably could ink this in and make it good enough and then send it to the public. But because the internet exists now, once you've made a page and it takes you a day or two or something to make it look nice, and then you immediately want to share it because it took you so long and you want the round of applause.
Yeah.
And that totally alters the way a storytelling can go, and it's a place that I haven't navigated as well. So like, I don't know, I've never sat down. Have you sat down and written a story?
I've tried before, but not since I was a kid. But obviously, I kind of sit down and write songs sometimes with a perspective of. But normally, I'll have like, maybe like I'll observe someone else's life, or I'll have an emotion that I'm feeling, and I'm like, I want to try and like convey that somehow through a song or through that, but I don't really sit down and write a story, but I do definitely like get hit with ideas for songs and stuff. That's cool you do. So do you do that every day? Would you do like a page on the kitchen table?
Nah.
No, so there's no like, you don't have, do you have like a thing that you're like, I want to draw every day or?
I hate pressure and shit. So it's like, I don't want to pressure anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that once you've got an idea then and it's good, go for that rather than kill yourself painting shit. Then you end up just painting horrible shit all the time.
If you're not enjoying it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, and there is pressure to paint. And it's like, fuck it. I don't want to. There's all these other things I can do. It takes so long to paint. It takes so long.
What makes it take so long?
Because you have to be considerate and think of everybody, everything. And then at the end of the day, what I ever make is really simple. But it took a long time to make it simple,
yeah.
You know? And, like, so it does, like, I did a painting for Tommy, and I did, and I try to freestyle everything because I don't want to, I don't want things to be too considered.
Mm-hmm.
But the background, there's no background. It's just, like, a big ball of yellow light falling on a thing. And it's crusty as. And I'm, like, into it. And to me, I think it looks nifty.
Yeah.
And I'm showing him, and he says, are you going to paint anything in the background?
Yeah, I know. And I'm like,
and he's right, because I could. And I can't tell if I shot myself in the foot or not. And I'm like, you know, it's painting, man.
Yeah.
When do you know anything's fucking done?
Nothing, yeah.
That's what's better about making songs. You go la, 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 and then now it's done. You can walk away.
But you never know when it's done. Is it mixed properly? Is the vocal out enough? Should we have more of this piano? Yeah. And there's all this bullshit. It's all
echo in your head.
But you're missing.
Echo like, in your head.
Yeah, but if the essence isn't there, it's done. But if you're missing the essence, then it's obviously not done. Like if you feel like the essence of the picture was there with the yellow background, then it's done. If you feel like you got the picture across, and you're, like you're saying, doing something simply actually takes a lot more thought sometimes to like go, nah, that is actually what I want and that is done. Because it's so easy to overwork something.
Yeah, exactly.
Overworking stuff is like...
It's torture.
It's really hard to know when you're done. It's an important skill. I think that's probably one of the best. Do you feel like you're good at that skill? And you don't like being questioned on it like happened with this painting?
I reckon I don't know when I'm done, but I know when I have to give up. Like I'm gonna ruin this piece of paper or... you know, this cannot take any more paint.
Yeah.
If I keep trying to fix it, it's going to go, it's fucked, you know?
Yeah.
Everything's fucked, you know?
Yeah.
When you're in it, I don't know. There's so many different ways of thinking about it. And it's when I think about painting, I think it's nice. And I imagine my mind is calm and I'm in a good mood and I'm having success. And that never happens. The actual doing it is like I'm so fucking useless. Horrible way.
You're still obsessed to do it. You still want to keep doing it though.
Yeah.
It's that pain that's kind of fun though, because you get through it and you're like, oh, that was so calm. I feel great after that. But actually, in the moment, it was torture.
Yeah, painting big walls. I'm aware of how painful they are.
Oh, really?
And it's like you have to actually make a date and stick to it. And stick to your word,
yeah.
And suffer the pain, and then get through it. And then only then you get to see what you've done and know whether you liked it or not. And that's another one which it can haunt you, man. Like, even if no one sees it, failing
yourself?
That's
the worst, failing yourself.
I'm 40 and I fail.
Everyone fails. Hurts. Even I'm terrified doing this podcast when these questions are asking, like, am I doing this right? Are you on mic enough? Like, what the fuck? It's just because you don't want to let yourself down, because end of the day, you have to live in your own head, eh? So it's a fucking nightmare. So how did you get into painting big walls? Like, that's a pretty intense thing to be doing. Like, obviously you got into it over time, but you get, like, paid to paint big walls and stuff.
I think hanging out with people.
Just it's networking.
Like, I never actively ever anything. I didn't actively want to be on a podcast.
Of course not.
Yeah, he just doing whatever it is that's in front of me, and it's like, okay, now we're doing this.
And you so when you went to Grey Lynn, did you get like a little bit of like a crew of other painters that you would hang out with, and just going back to some of the history of it, because it's maybe interesting for people to, because painting big wall, it's pretty, your artwork's all around Auckland and other parts, Taupo and whatever.
I think that we had a lucky stroke, like I met lots of painters. Graffiti, I don't think was cool.
Hmm.
And maybe it was cool.
But you were probably in the era where it became cool, though.
Somewhere along the lines, I know I hanged out with losers,
dropkicks,
and we just hanged out in rooms drawing.
Mm.
Daft.
Just a bunch of daft dudes on a kitchen table drinking,
like eating each other and go and draw together. And then we'd go tagging.
bunch of simpletons, eh?
Yeah. And then, like, I don't know, something happened and magazines started happening and they're cool. And we're the cool.
Yeah, we're cool.
From fucking total losers, and now we're like, go to a club and people were like, oh, it's the fucking RFC gang.
was that your first crew? RFC?
RFC. And then I got
What does that stand for?
Rat Fink Club.
Rat Fink Club?
Yeah, like Rat Fink from the Hot Rods.
Oh yeah. Rat Fink.
Yeah. The cool.
That's cool. And were many other writers in that group still doing like sort of work to this day as well?
Yeah, everyone's still just exactly as they. Everyone's just like grown up teenagers, I think.
Yeah.
Everyone still tags. Everyone's got jobs. And when I say like everyone tags, I don't think they like go bombing every week or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if they manage to be outside the tagging. I like to tag.
Yeah.
Do you tag?
I haven't, but I have done it in the past, but I've never done it like actively.
Fray tags.
Yeah, fray tags, yeah. He's like, yeah, it's great fun, looks cool.
Yeah, I like loser tags.
Yeah.
Not to be like Fray's losers.
Now Fray was tagging Dick Cheese for me as my tag.
Yeah, is that you?
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a loser tag, the hardest one, like Dick
Cheese. It's just cool to like if you ever walking around, you like go along like a pipeline or something like that, and now you're like, oh my god, I'm in a meadow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see a loser's tag, and it's like, oh, and losers hang out.
Yeah, and losers were here, eh?
Yeah.
It's a nice feeling to know there was other sifty idiots hanging out. So, dude, but out of that crew, the RFC crew, are they, or any of them other one, are they still doing like commission work on like walls as well around town and stuff like you're doing?
Yeah, we got Gasp, he's like,
oh, he's the guy that's on that wall just out here.
Yeah, he's like the leader of the guys.
Yeah.
And we had a guy, Sins, and he's gone bush.
Oh, yeah, gone bush.
Yeah, full bush.
What is it? Oh, yeah.
But, and then we got, the other guys have gone to different countries and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, I don't know.
Have you done graffiti overseas? Well, like not graffiti, like you've done paid. Have you been flying around the world?
Yeah, that's the only reason I've ever travelled.
Really? Which countries have you gone to?
I'm also a part of another crew called TMD, which is much more prestigious.
Oh, wow.
And
what does TMD stand for, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it used to stand for the most dangerous, and it currently is like the most dedicated.
And that's such a nice switch as you go into your older life, eh? The most dangerous to the most dedicated?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And but you know, it was cool. It's like, when I was a kid, like, being just a shit-kicking tagger to going to colouring in and attempting to do, like, more interesting graffiti.
Yeah.
And then getting noticed and then being like, do you want to come paint with us?
Awesome.
It's like, I want to paint definitely with these guys because they're the best in the game. And, to me.
That's awesome, though. Like, so you got joined and they asked you to join the crew?
Yeah, it's like being a trumpet player and being asked, oh, do you want to play trumpet in our song? And it's like, yeah, come.
That's
like, definitely. And I tried to work harder.
That's awesome.
And then it's like, now we're doing, because my mate, Big Al's, he writes Ask You. He's a big wig of graffiti land.
Yeah.
And me and him used to paint a lot more, and he's extremely motivated. And so that's a lot of how I got to paint big walls. It's like he's
big owls.
Motivated, yes. I'm little owls.
Yeah, I know that. So I've always heard you've been referred to as little owls, but I never knew who big owls was. So.
Yeah, so he's a lot less motivated.
Yeah.
And there's good things and bad things about both points of view.
Totally. So what countries would you guys go around and paint? Was like, what was your first memory?
Europe twice, you know.
What was your first trip overseas? Was that for painting?
Yeah, and we win competitions.
Fuck, wow, really?
Yeah, we represent New Zealand at Splash Festival.
Where was that?
In, like, Germany somewhere. Fuck. And like.
So what happens at a graffiti festival? Like, what is it?
Oh, well, they break it into segments. And yeah. So it's like one group do... So you got your team.
Yeah.
And then there's like a competition at throw ups, and so they make you paint a word.
Oh, they choose the word?
Yeah.
True.
And then
is it a German word?
It can be. And
with umlauts and stuff, you've probably never painted umlauts. Yeah.
And then there's a tagging one, so who's going to do the most stylish tag? And it's like style and effectiveness, you know, because you've got to get up in front of everyone and do a tag.
Just be quick as well?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's, you know, you can stand there and be a ballerina. No one's going to clap for that, you know. Yeah. And then there's like a bomb where all of the crew work collectively on a piece together.
Yeah.
Which is very European thinking.
Well, yeah, because is that with, because I was watching a documentary about that crew, the 1UP crew. And they,
yeah, there you go. That's exactly. See they, how they work?
Yeah, really. Like, they look at the picture, burn it, then, yeah. Like, all do, like, their little their segments in it.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see how collaborative that is.
Yeah, I think it's cool. That's how they think.
So that was a new thing that you guys saw when you went over to Europe. You're like, were they doing that sort of level of collaborative?
Yeah. It's like anything else. So, like, I guess everybody's interconnected, and so there's, like, groups of people that approve of each other's graffiti and then groups of people that disapprove of each other, and that goes across like the whole world for some reason. And some people, oh, he's a hipster graffiti guy, I don't do that stuff, you know. And other people, you know, it's out of it.
What's your genre? Like, what would be your, would you be like?
Oh, I'm a tosser because I'm like a mural painting has been, like, character that still likes to do twink tags and bus stops. I'm like, not, no, I'm not of a high regard. I stand on like a really knobbly stick.
Really?
I don't know. I still love graffiti though, and I think that you're allowed to be a spectator and still actively involved in just appreciating it. It's cool fun. Like, the city's falling apart. Turning into a swampland.
Yeah.
Auckland's got like 5 taggers and they're beating the shit out of it on an endless crack bender. And it's like, you know, it's good.
There are some pretty endless crack bender tags out there for sure.
Bro, it's awesome.
It's so good.
It's really good to watch. And it's so nice to have our city reflect itself.
Yeah.
Back. You know?
True.
It's good. And I love it. It's like, to me, it's biblical, man, because it's like the start of the Bible. It's like, you know. In the beginning, there was the Word.
Yeah.
And the Word was, you know, God or good or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's like the Word is just getting abused by style writers who are just taking language, you know, that's all it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And making it, you know, you can, in an English language, you can say a word and it can be spelt the same and said the same but mean something different. Mm. And if you just painted it in heavy metal font or made it look like it was shiny or made it look like it was bubbly.
It can mean even more things.
It means lots more.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's just expressing a word. I tangented, but no, then it's like our modern city and we've got aches and pork.
Oh, pork goes hard, eh?
Isn't it so good?
I watched a little doco on him. There's like a YouTube documentary about him, and he's just like, I'm full time fucking pork, bro. I just write pork. That's all I do. He's the man. It's so cool. And I like just pork. It's pork as well. It's such a
forbidden meat.
It's such a good tag.
And you just write pork. And it's,
but he's like you. He's like, this is all like, that's all I do. I just write pork.
Yeah, you see, he's like, demented. He's got the dement.
Yeah.
And it's a service. It's a service. You know, like, that's why I kind of get itchy about certain things about, like, like the reason why anyone does anything. And I think people benefit from painting. And sometimes people, like skateboarding is such a natural thing. Some people skate in the idea that they want to get sponsored.
Yeah.
And so that you see them skating and they're sort of flirting with a Vans shoe or something.
Yeah.
And you understand their intention and their motive. And I think graffiti has also got feelings like that. Like, you know, when indie music came out to me and I watched everybody with baggy pants suddenly have tight pants, you know?
And then switched back now.
Yeah, and then there was a miniature emo phase where younger people had a fringe. And I blame almost their movie Juno or maybe like Napoleon Dynamite, but something happened. And
all the Strokes, yeah.
Yeah, all the Strokes. And then, like, people you knew suddenly pretended that they had, like, knees that clicked together. They pretended they were bow-legged and stuff. And they were wearing, like, canvas shoes. And a totally different body language started coming out of, like, people. And then that was coming out of, like, graffiti started turning into this other type of graffiti.
Were they, like, indie taggers that came on?
Yeah, and it was, like, pretend.
Oh.
No, well, it's okay.
It's still interesting.
Exactly, it's still interesting.
Yeah.
What they're trying to reflect is, like, a different aspect. Well, you know, you got somebody who's worked quite hard to get to a level.
Yeah.
And it's terrible to feel mocked by somebody who's just pretending, like, making your life feel like you're in WWF, that you've actually got blood on your face. You know, and it's really hard to be mocked in that regard because it takes so much to actively participate in that game.
In that game, yeah. And then someone comes along and just writes bumhole in a normal font or whatever. Over the top of something else that doesn't even... You know the ethics, you don't understand the rules, you can't tag over this person unless you dig it.
Yeah.
And because there's ethics around today, like we you can tag and tagging on top of other people's tags and things like that is...
There's feelings involved.
Feelings involved.
You can psychologically damage somebody when they write their name right next to your name.
Really?
Yeah, it just feels like they're standing next to you at the urinal.
True.
You know, they're taking your oxygen.
Yeah, I don't think
it's like
that's a fun way to think about them standing next to you at the urinal. Like, this is my spot. Like, this is where I come. This is my relaxing park.
Yeah,
that's my bit of rusty pipe in the meadow.
Let my name breathe. Let my fake street name, my weird thing, breathe.
That's a funny thing as well. You want to write your name everywhere, but you also want to let it breathe and give it some space.
Like, no, you go to the toilet in Verona, it's so good. Everybody's written their name over the top of each other, and it's like, you know, this is what it feels like to look outside. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's a vibe.
So when you went to, how'd you win that? What did you guys win for in that competition? You said at Splash, was it Splash Zone? Or
I can't remember what we won on another time, but I know that. Probably both times. I do know that we won, and I know an attitude towards us changed because you notice the difference, and that was out of it because it means nothing. It's like winning a battle of the bands in Hamilton.
Yeah, who cares, yeah.
But it's important to people.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, because of people just immediately assume that you're better than you are. Because you went to Europe and you beat some people.
Yeah, some people back in New Zealand were thinking that. Yeah,
it was out of it.
Did you go...
We won a pallet of spray paint.
Oh, really? Pallet.
Yeah, and then so that was on a shipping container.
It gets sent to New Zealand.
Yeah, and then you get more spray paint than you ever needed.
Really?
But that's a good and bad thing because it's sort of like, you know what to do if you've got three colours.
True.
And now you're choosing maybe 400 colours.
Oh, no.
Get a bit confusing.
Yeah, it's good to stick to your colours, eh?
You don't know what to... Now, you'd like to have every colour in the rainbow, but the rainbow's got shades.
Yeah.
So, and the German paint company has more colours than the rainbow. There's lots of colours. It's hard to choose lots of colours.
I can imagine. Yeah, like you say, I actually feel the same way about creativity. Sometimes actually having limits is really handy. getting, if I went to a mean studio and had everything I could ever want, I probably wouldn't write a good song. But if having a bit of limits, or having even a guitar with missing a couple of strings,
yeah,
and making it work,
yeah,
is also good. I like being under a few constraints creatively before.
Me too.
I don't like being super comfortable. I feel that.
That's both, though, because it's good and bad things. Like, I think something Big Elliot told me, and I think he's right about it. Lance sort of says a similar thing, like having an abundant mindset. Big Elliot says, always paint like you're not going to run out of paint. And I argue that because I'm always going to run out of paint. Like, I'm always doing everything as cheaply as possible. And so there's something about running out of paint that makes you not. So he's right. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. It's like having too many things, it fucks you up. You can't do anything.
Yeah, I like to have a little bit of restraint. What would be your, like, if you could, stupid fucking question, but if you could have three, like, you had three colours paint with the rest of your life, what would you choose?
I don't know, because I put them in a hat.
Oh, you put them in a hat?
Yeah,
I like that.
This chick, and her name's something. She paints Cal Sunshine or something like that. And she says sometimes she doesn't know what to do. So she just has a bat hat with colour schemes in them.
Yeah.
Pulls them out, and it's always three. And then I think if you got three colours, and you get black and white also,
yeah,
you're not going to fail.
No.
You can almost not fail.
No, you'd be sweet with three colours and black and white.
Yeah, what is it? The purple, teal, yeah, red. You got black and white, you can make it look nice.
Yeah, you got it all. I liked your answer, though. It's like you just choose, put them in a hat, then just get what you're given.
Yes, it's like that, man.
I like that, though.
Yeah, I put the paint on the thing. I don't want to choose.
I've actually got a couple of I've actually got a fan question here. If I can quickly,
oh, really?
Quickly have that, yeah.
You really have thought about things.
Yeah, I've tried my best.
Yeah, you got out.
So I got my fan question here. So we got, you know, it's a pretty buzzing podcast.
Hey Elliot, big long time fan here. Question: if you had to dye your hair a colour, what colour would you dye it?
So if you had to, fan question, if you had to dye your hair a colour, what colour would you dye it?
I wouldn't dye my hair.
You wouldn't dye your hair?
I don't want to dye my hair.
Fair enough.
If I could, if I, maybe I'd go black.
Black?
Yeah.
Oh, because you've got blonde hair, so might as well just go the other way.
See what that's like.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, fan question. We've got another one for later, but we'll get back into that a bit later. I've also wanted to quickly, I was just wondering, I heard a rumour that you were once in a limousine with Michael Jordan.
That's not true.
Oh, okay. It's not true?
Not true. I remember something about that, but I can't pull it from my mind.
True, because I heard a story.
Foggy memory.
With you and Michael Jordan.
I've never been in a limo with Michael.
Or have you met Michael Jordan?
Never. I would talk about that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because he's the best.
He's the very best.
Yeah. Another rumour, is one another celebrity factoid that I had from the streets when I was researching the pod. Is it true that you saw the Olsen twins on High Street once?
Yes, that's true.
Can you talk me through that?
Yes.
Yeah, elaborate.
Well, I was in the square and I was with my mate, Ra.
Oh, yeah.
We were selling CDs.
Really?
Yeah. CDs, like graffiti DVDs.
What? What do you mean? Like a documentary you guys made or something? Really?
No, a documentary other people had made.
Oh, you were selling graffiti DVDs?
Yeah. And and then there used to be two hip-hop shops, and at the square is in between both of them. And so we'd watch kids going in and out of the hip-hop shops, and then we'd go up to them and ask them if they wanted to buy graffiti DVDs. Mm. And then they did, because it looked so naughty, that they wanted to be a part of the naughtiness. We would sell them for $40. And then Ashley Olsen was in the country, and she said, or the other one, Mary Kate, she came up and asked if we were hustling, and I didn't know what hustling meant. And Ra said yes. And then we tried to sell her, and she said, I'm not interested in that. And I said, what are you doing in the country? And she said she was op chopping. And then she had a ski instructor with her who was also a bodyguard. And then they sat down, and we just continued living our lives. But when we came up to K Road and we said that we'd met these people, everyone got excited and wants to go and see the celebrity.
Yeah.
And then when they went off on their mission to go and see the celebrity and they didn't see the celebrity, and no one believes me that I saw the celebrity.
Well, they're probably gone. They were going to just hang out in the same spot the whole time.
Yeah, but I saw her and I talked to her, and wow, she wasn't as interesting as you, like, I wish it was more exciting.
Yeah,
but I have to talk about it sometimes.
No, I like it. That's why I wanted to get it, because honestly, it was, when I was researching for the pod, that's just... that was just one of the things that came up. Just said, you got to make sure you talk to Elliot about his Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen story.
Oh, it makes me mad that people don't believe me.
Well, I clearly believe it. I just wanted to bring it up and clear the air and make sure everyone can believe me. That's... We should check the timeline, though, and see what they were filming for or something like that. Also, just wanted to... do you remember that time when Tony, like, lost his bike?
Yes.
And you, like, somehow, like... just through telepathy or something, found, or through, like, you almost put your hand on the ground and sort of found it through, like, street psychology. I'm not too sure how to word that, but how did you find that bike?
I'll tell you how I did.
Please, yes.
Okay. One day, Tony and Eleanor lost their bikes, and they lived across the road. They lived in a bike lifestyle, so when they lost their bikes, they were bummed.
Yeah.
I was coming home from the Greyland supermarket, and I found a back bike lamp on the footpath, and I picked it up, and I looked at it, and knew it was from their bikes, and I somehow in my mind saw a bike crash.
Wow.
And I saw the bike crash, and it was at night time and it was raining. It was two boys. When one landed on the ground, I could feel the other one felt the pain and stopped and wanted to help his friend. He tried to help his friend, but instead of help, he laughed, because a laugh came out of him. And his friend, who was on the ground, was in pain, and he didn't want his friend to know how much of pain he was, but he felt hurt because his friend was laughing at him as well as he was in pain. But he didn't want to show that he was weak, so he laughed too. And then he had to get himself up off the ground, because they were both on the bicycles, and they rolled down the hill. And I know that I saw in my mind the two kids that had stolen the bicycles. The two kids that had stolen the bicycles were bigger than me and Tony. We couldn't beat them in a fight.
Mm.
Well, so when I was standing there, it was the daytime, and I'd saw that whole bike crash happen in the night.
So when you picked up that item, that all came to you?
Yeah, I saw it.
Wow.
And then when I was standing there, I saw it. I was suddenly holding the rack, and I looked down to the park, and in my mind's eye, I saw the two boys were still there on their bikes. This is like 2 weeks after the bikes were stolen.
Mm.
They were down in the park. I could see them in my mind. I could see them. And I knew that me and Tony couldn't get them, but at home I have my friend Rungi. He's an American.
Mm.
I went up home, and I knocked on the door. I said, Rungi, who usually works, I was like, Rungi, I know where the bikes are, but I need your help, because we... The best part is, Rungi would never do what I ask him to do. But for some reason, because he knew that I knew, he just followed me without question. And then we crossed the road, I knock on the door, I said, Tony, I know where your bikes are, get ready. Whoa. He's depressed. He's wearing a bathrobe.
Of course.
He's got to get dressed, because we don't have time. He ran and got the bathrobe, and then they both followed me, following him down into the park. And then they disappeared in my mind's eye, and then both the boys lost faith in me. But then they reappeared in my mind's eye, and I think that's because they went behind a building. But anyway, they reappeared in my mind's eye, and so I just started tracking them. And Tony and Rungi were following with me, and then I track them all the way to Mitre 10, and I found the bikes. And then they tried to challenge us over the bikes, but I had Rungi, my big mate, who told them to get fucked. And then they said, all right, you can have your bikes back. And then they left. And then I found a packet of cigarettes. Yeah. As a reward after that, I found a packet of cigarettes on the ground. Ooh. But anyway.
Taylies or Rollies?
Yeah. And so I think, well.
Taylies or Rollies, though?
Taylies.
Yeah. Still.
And then I gave some to Tony.
Oh.
Yeah. Whack.
Well, but that's crazy. Has that ever happened to you before?
It happens to me all the time, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. The only one I talk about is the one that I got people involved in. And the reason why is other people are involved in my psychotic episodes.
Yeah.
And it's like, all of my other psychotic episodes are just things like, oh shit, someone's overseas and I can feel that they're in Christchurch or something. And then they'll be there, and I like, what are you going to do with that information? Yeah. Say I knew it. Like, you can't tell anyone. So you just got to live your life.
I knew you were in Christchurch.
Yeah, I know. I already know.
What was the most recent one you had?
I just get them all the time. It's just like living. It's the same thing with painting, and that's why I don't bother with the whole fucking thing, because I think, like, when it's time to do these things, you would be doing them in the first place. Like, that's what will... Now I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if this thing gets legs, it gets legs. If it's pointless, it's pointless. Either way, I don't mind.
No, yeah.
It's like, find mistakes, keep working on them, carry off, just do keep whatever.
Yeah. That's the way to go, eh?
Yeah, it's easy. I think that's the way to do it. So I reckon everyone does it and doesn't even know they're doing it half the time as well.
Like feeling the... Like,
yeah.
Because I often, like, I get it where I, like, will think about someone and then they'll call me or things like that, or, like, oh, you know, that sort
you
of...
You hear the bell ring and you know who's on the other
end. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and then it's, like, right on time, but it would be, like, 3 months.
And it's, like, the same thing that always following your intuition. Like, if I'm feeling like something's going to happen or this is the right way to do something, it generally is always... It's a similar, that's the same similar mechanism in myself or whatever.
Yeah.
But when you were working, like, because that's interesting that you went, I didn't realise you went overseas so much, or like with that crew doing like graffiti things. When you were like in Germany, would you guys go out at night and then tag and stuff as well?
Yeah, we did. And like,
it must be a nightmare for that city, because it's every tagging crew, just the whole city must not be a nightmare, but like it must be like the city must get tagged out.
Oh, it wasn't, because we're a lot of people to move, and like...
So how many's in the crew?
What?
How many's in the crew?
Oh, maybe 12 or... Fuck. I don't know. Different times, different amounts of people would go, and we're mostly like, it's mostly like Polynesian and Maori crew as well.
Yeah.
And so it's like different buzz.
Yeah.
Getting pissed, tagging, eating lots of food.
Yeah. Sounds fun.
Yeah, it is.
And we were out, did you guys go to America and stuff as well?
Yeah, we went to LA and...
What was it like over there, going to like America? Because that's kind of like quite a intense part of, you know, tagging, or like graffiti scene or whatever. What was it like being in, what country did you enjoy visiting the most and like found the graffiti, like the whole, that sort of experience?
I don't know. Like, I think the eye-opener for me was Europe, because of, no one ever told me we're being ripped off. And
what do you mean by that?
That bread and cheese is so much more la la la, and
yeah,
and what a tomato is, and then suddenly you get to eat the apples that come from our country, and suddenly there's a whole more Jamie Oliver aspect of life that I wasn't privy to, and then you come home and you're like, we could do these things and those things, and, you know, all of these ideas that you see a more functioning city capable of being able to provide for people, you know, like, and then here it's just a different buzz. And then America is more reminded me of New Zealand, I think.
Really?
That, like, I don't know, Los Angeles. I don't really know, because I was only there for like a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it can only tell you a snapshot of a memory. Mm. The majority of my life is here.
Yeah.
You know.
It's an awesome thing, though, to be able to, like, still see some of the world with your art and stuff. Is
that's
one of the dreams, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, like one of my dreams always to go touring and all that sort of stuff, you know.
Well, I like that, because I kind of get the belief that I only ever go anywhere because someone asked me to go there.
It's quite a nice feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's nice.
That's a lovely feeling. That's cool. And so are you working, are you going to be doing any more commissions at the moment? Are you taking a bit of a break with the kid, or do you have to now hustle harder to get more work? Like, where's your mind at in terms of like...
All three. Like, my mind's everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like, people are asking me to do stuff and I don't know how to answer them.
True.
Because I don't know if I can commit to certain ideas.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to explain them. And also I have to look into my energy,
and
what I'm willing to give. And then I'm also freaking out because it's sort of like, I don't want to get crushed either.
No.
You know, it's like paint a rich person's apartment building and it hurts the dude.
Yeah. You know,
property developers.
Oh, Jesus.
Satanists.
It's
I'd rather, you know, it's like it's a fight between your spirit.
Totally.
And it's like, I'd rather have my spirit.
That's the hard thing about being, when you do have a kid though, like the, you know, the hunting and gathering aspect of your life hits in a bit harder, and you're just like, fuck, I've got to earn money for this child and like all that. Or like, you know, it's just,
yeah,
it's quite intense, but it's kind of can be cool. But then holding your,
I wish I had more of that. Like, I see other dads, they're like, I see how hard they go, and it's like, I'm, I, could go more hard out.
But they're going, we're not going hard potentially on things that we like. Like you're going hard on something that's creative, and you're like, you know, it hurts you to do like a commission. But we're just hurt the whole time because we're just working a 9-to-5 job that we probably don't like and stuff. So we just drink through it. And we've come to terms with it. So I don't think, I wouldn't say we're working hard. We're just stuck in the cog of the machine a bit harder. And I think I've always revered how you're like, you just hustle for your money. You like, you do a job if you need to do a job, and you'll get your paint because you'll get extra paint. I don't know. Just, I've always thought that was, I'm kind of respect that more than, because my job is great and stuff and it's all good, but it's like, it's not obviously what I do creatively or what I want to be doing with my life ultimately, but I have to do it for my family. But I could also just put everything into it and try to do more podcasts and do more music and actually just give it a harder shot and then eat less yummy food and all that sort of stuff and have a bit of more of a intense lifestyle. It just depends on what your level of what you can cope with, I suppose.
You need to be everywhere. I think your job gives you that.
Yeah.
Like, I like that you're in 5,000 places and yeah, know 5,000 people.
Yeah, same.
And doing 5,000 things. And then you did, this is perfect.
Yeah, it's a good balance.
It's like, you don't get shit from hanging out by yourself. You just go insane.
But you, yeah, is that what you don't just hang out with yourself, though. Obviously, your collaboration with, like, Lance is real great. Like, you know, what you guys do with Sky Pirates is awesome.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He gets it. You just go and do things, and then you do more things.
Yeah, he gets it. Eh? Just keep doing this. Basically, the key is not stopping doing things.
Yeah, you can't. You've got to do things.
Yeah, if you do things, you'll be sweet.
Yeah.
Stop doing things, and you're silly. But yeah. Because you don't even, with your social media, you get someone else does that stuff for you, eh?
I used to, but now I do it.
Oh, you do it yourself now?
Yeah. But that means I just don't do anything. And I posted one on it on Facebook, and Danielle says to put it on Instagram. But I'm still afraid of it. I'm like, I don't want to communicate there because I feel like, I don't know, it's just my feelings. Mm. So I just do whatever I feel like.
Do that, yeah.
And it's like, definitely, I don't want to make comics for the computer. I don't want to make graffiti for the computer. And I think the computer's good enough now to make art for the computer.
Yeah, it can make its own art, yeah. So it's,
that's covered. Yeah. So it's all right. Yeah.
So you're happy on the path, like, just doing more, like, commission walls and, like, would you want to do more comics or, like, a bigger, would you want to release, like, a comic, like, a proper book or more books or what's your goal, like, in the next...
I just want to think about it and, like, continue thinking about it. I don't... Like, I'm still going to paint and draw.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think I'm going to make a very great painting or a great drawing for a minute until I've got the notion to want to, and then I can do it, I think.
So you're finding, like, after you... Or is this before you had a kid, or is this after kids? Is it kind of you finding it hard to figure out what you're doing creatively, or like to get the balance of creativity and money, and or like using your creativity for monetarily as well? Is like a hard, is it holding you back a little bit, or?
Definitely, I have to start making money.
Yeah.
I just trying to think of a way to do that and contribute something beneficial. You know, I want to work hard and I want to show a very good image.
Mm.
And the more I get older, the very good images is sort of stripped back to me what I think one is, because you get told what to paint so many times. Paint my dog, can you paint this, can you paint that, but if this is so many years, it's like all they want to see is images of either their own lives or their own surroundings. If people ask for a painting of the Sky Tower when you can see the Sky Tower, they ask for a painting of Rangitoto, you can see Rangitoto. They ask for things of things that they can see. And so it's like, we've got another job where we're kind of like pulling stuff down from a place we can't see it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's why it's even difficult to talk about. Because it's like, you know, it's like no one not intentionally doing anything. Intentionally.
Intentionally doing anything. That makes sense, though. Because, you want to bring in things that you can't see, that you haven't seen, you can't see, and...
Yeah, yeah. It's all in the space. See, that's for me, I feel more comfortable now just painting a huge amount of nothing.
Mm.
And feels better. It's like, ah, finally. It took me ages to get to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could never go to a gallery and be like, do you want to show my paintings of this, which is very not really a painting?
Yeah.
So, fuck that.
Are you thinking of doing any more gallery shows anytime soon?
I'll do anything anybody asks me to.
Just chuck that mic close to your face just because
I'll do anything anybody asks me to. I'm going to make some paintings soon.
Yeah?
And I want to make just some paintings that I want to be able to put up in Morningside.
Oh, at Lancers?
Yeah. But they're a while off, you know? A good while off. Because they've got to prepare the wood and then make the wood good enough to paint.
Oh, Jesus.
And then feel the thing out, you know? Mm. It takes ages.
Totally.
By the time they're being coloured in, it's like next summer, man. I can tell how long it takes. That's what's crap to talk about it. It's like, when are you going to do this? It's like, it is happening. Just you can't see it. It's just not there yet.
Yeah.
And if I put any oxygen on it, or I put shed any light on what I'm going to paint.
Yeah, yeah.
Worse than touching a snail's eye, man. It will never exist. Yeah. A snail's eye can come back.
True.
Yeah, but you put the light on an idea that isn't born, gone. God. Never gone. Or you could try and build it, and it would be pathetic. Oh. Paper mache.
The cast
weak,
play.
Weak, very weak. And people can tell, because it's weak. They look at it, it's fucking weak. You can tell. Yeah. I've got to smokes, man.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
How long did we talk?
We've talked for an hour and 20 minutes, so I've got one more fan question and then we can call it a day.
All right.
Is that okay?
Hit me.
Yes, hello, this is Brian. I'm a big interested fan for you, Elliot. I want to know if you had to invent a fifth Teletubby, a Teletubby that does not exist, what would you create? What would it look like, a color and a shape on top of a head? Thank you. Love your work.
Yes, we opened it up to the internet and just said, any fans of Elliot Francis Stewart, bring in a memo. And he said, what would, if there was to make a fifth Teletubby, what color and what shape would they have on their head?
What are the shapes on their head?
It's like a square, a circle, a triangle. I could Google it. I'm not too sure.
So if they've got Xbox.
I'll bring them up. I'll bring the Teletubbies up. Actually, this is good timing to almost finish up because this rain's probably going to be quite loud.
I had to be like a white Teletubby with a one on its head.
So you got Tinky Winky with a triangle on her head. Dipsy was got like just sort of straight up. Lala's got a squiggle. And then you got Poe and the Sun Baby. So those are the colours and the look of them. Purple, green, yellow and red.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Green's quite good. Green's just got the stick.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
That's what I wanted.
Maybe I'll just go for the two, you know, the V.
Oh, a V, yeah. That's pretty good, yeah. And what colour?
White.
White with a V, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you for thanks for being on the podcast. Appreciate it, Elliot.
Thank you. That was fun.
Yeah, did you enjoy it? Was it all right?
Yeah, yeah. I hope I don't get guilty for talking for too long.
No, that's what it's all about.
We didn't backstab anyone. How
nice. No, you didn't talk about. You talked nicely about everybody. It was great.
That's really good.
We probably went on too many tangents and then kind of forgot what we were talking about as we were doing
it. Yeah, I hope it's understandable.
So do I.
And I hope you get many more guests and a successful
podcast. And if you ever would be keen to be a recurring guest, maybe we can get you on in six months or a year's time when Frey will be here producing as well.
Wonderful.
I'm keen? Into that?
Yep.
Into that?
Keen as.
Jake, love you. Cheers, mate.
Cool fun.
You're the best. Thanks so much. Thank you. Appreciate you. So that was Elliot Francis Stewart's episode. What an amazing person. Definitely going to have him on again. Obviously a little bit of nerves there, but it was a good episode nonetheless, and he's got more stories to tell. Thanks for listening. Take care. Ka kite.